Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Veronica. Hi, everyone. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Veronica.
And it's good to be here, even though it was really hard for me to show up today. Keeping it real. I'm abstinent since July of 2009. My abstinence is no purging, no matter what. And my food plan is 3 meals a day, 2 optional snacks. And I really enjoyed all the sharing. Like, we can go home now. That's how I feel. Really, really enjoy the sharing. And I related to all the sharing. That's why I come to OA. Because you guys are the only guys that get me. You know, I can't talk to anybody else about my eating disorder or my behavior around food or my thoughts around food. It's a lost case when I try to tell a girlfriend, like, I can't have a cookie, you know. And so I love you guys, and I need to be here, and I know that I need to be here. And it was hard to get out of bed today for me, but I'm here because you guys have taught me to show up no matter what, and that my feelings will pass. And I have been struggling a little bit, so that's why it's kind of hard to be up here. But I will share in a general way what it was like, what happened, what it's like for me today. And again, I want to welcome the newcomers. You guys are in a really good place. This is the only thing that has helped me abstain from purging. The only thing. I'll share a little bit of what it was like when, so I'm the oldest of 4 girls, and I have 2 older brothers, and I am Mexican, and we have a very loud family. We love to eat. Eating is a part of all our culture. You know, if you have a feeling, here's a tortilla, beans, and rice. You know, the traditional tamales every Christmas. And from a very young age, I loved to eat. I was an overweight child. And because I was the oldest of 4 girls, I had to take care of my younger siblings, and I hated that. I felt like I was too young to be taking care of my little siblings, and I would just eat. I would eat. And it seemed like that would really soothe me for many years. Until I got to high school, where all my girlfriends were getting boyfriends and all the attention, and I wasn't getting any because I was overweight. So I had asked my mom to take me to a diet doctor, and she did. And this doctor gave me diet pills, and I lost 40 pounds. And I felt really good. Love how those pills made me feel. Gave me a lot of energy. I lost all the weight. And then I lost the weight, and I go back to see the doctor for more pills. And he says, "Oh, you're done. Like, you've lost all your weight. You know, have a good life." And I was 16 years old, and I was devastated, right? I was like, how am I going to, like, maintain my weight loss? You know, because I love food. And food is the only thing that makes me feel good and, you know, fills that hole in me. And so shortly thereafter, I discovered eating and purging. And I was like, well, that's my solution. That's what I started doing. I started eating and throwing up my food. And at the same time, you know, I mentioned that I really love how the amphetamine pills made me feel, so I started using amphetamines also to also maintain my weight loss, so I thought at the time. And I started to party a lot. So if I wasn't partying, I was eating and throwing up. Because at the time, my main goal was, like, to maintain my weight loss, you know. And I lived like that for many years. At one point, I thought I was a drug addict, so I decided to get a job for the airlines where they drug test you. And I needed a little incentive, you know what I mean? So I got a job as a flight attendant, and when I got that job, I stopped using drugs, but I started drinking every day, like my alcoholism just shot through the roof, you know, and my bulimia just got worse, because now I'm treating my, you know, my thinking with food and alcohol, like it was like a daily thing, and for me, bulimia became like a habit. Like, I would eat, and the minute, I would say every day, like, today I'm not going to throw up. Today I'm not going to throw up. And then the minute I would overeat just a little bit, like, something would trigger in my head, and I'd go straight to the bathroom. And that just became, like, a habit for me. And I had a big secret. Like, I lived this big, like, I felt secretive all the time. And nobody knew, I don't think. And because I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed of this thing that I have done for so many years. And, you know, when I, even on the airplane, I would work in first class, and I would wait for all the, you know, passengers were fed, and we had a lot of good food in first class, a lot of high calorie, high fat, rich food. I would wait till all the passengers would sleep, and then I'd go to town. I would eat all the leftovers, and I'd go to the bathroom and throw up in that little lavatory. So gross when I think about it today. And that was my disease, you know. And a couple of times people would ask me, like, are you okay? Because my eyes would get bloodshot red, you know, after doing that. And it just became this vicious cycle for me. Up until I decided to get sober, and I got sober, and at 3 years of sobriety, I was still eating and throwing up, and I was not sober living, you know. I'd be in the room thinking about what my binge was going to be that night, like just turn the speaker, be like, okay, so now I'm going to go to this drive-thru, and I'm going to get A, B, and C, and then I would feel better, just like planning it out in my head. And so I finally told my sponsor, I said, this is what's going on with me, because I was so ashamed. And, right before I told my sponsor, there was this girl in AA. And this was what the attraction was for me. So you know what they say, it's attraction, not promotion. It's, you never know whose lives you're going to touch. But there was this girl in AA, and she lost a lot of weight, and she looked really happy. And I was like, I want what she has. What is she doing, you know? And so it turns out that she was coming to OA. And I had never heard of OA before. And so at that point, I started talking to my sponsor more. And I told her that I was having these thoughts. And I was thinking about food instead of the speaker. And so she suggested come to an OA meeting. She suggested to talk to a certain person at OA. And so I did. I talked to that woman because I was really done living the way I was living. Like, I had become desperate, and I was just tired of living that way for so, so many years. And so this woman, you know, she wasn't my first choice sponsor. You know, she scared me a little bit, but I asked her because I was desperate. You know, I needed to change something, and on my own power, it wasn't happening. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and she told me to go to meetings, and then she gave me some things to do, like write a yellow, red, and green list. And then we started working the steps, and I can't believe that I started not throwing up. It was like a miracle, and it was just, I think it was just from coming to these rooms and seeing your guys' experience and that you guys had done it, you know. And that's what started my journey into OA. So at first my food was really sloppy. Like, my only thing was just to stay abstinent, you know, just not purging. And so my food was really sloppy, and I couldn't really get to I couldn't really worry about that too much, you know. I couldn't worry about, like, gaining weight. I mean, I gained a couple of pounds, I think. Not a lot, because I would remember that. But I did gain a couple of pounds, but I started to becoming more aware of, like, the things I was eating. But it was slow, though. It's very slow. I had to find out what worked for me. Over time, you find out what works for you. And the more honest you are with your sponsor and the more honest you are with yourself, you start to realize what works for you, food-wise. And for me, it's very clear today, at almost 8 years of abstinence, what works for me and my food plan. And so that's how I came to OA, and I've been abstinent. And, you know, I've had a lot of good things happen in abstinence and a lot of not so fun things happen in abstinence. When I got sober, 2 years into my sobriety, I realized I had married the wrong man. That I had married for all the wrong reasons. You know, I was very unhappy. I was walking around in AA feeling like a fraud. And so I was terrified to get a divorce, because I come from a big family. Like, I've always been taken care of. I've never been out on my own. And when I would meet people in program and they would tell me, like, they have independent life, like their own place, their own job, they're self-supporting, like, I would be like, that's what I want, you know. But I was too afraid, because I was always taken care of, you know. And so when I started working the steps, I had this spiritual awakening where I was very unhappy. And so I told my sponsor, and she helped me through that. She helped me get through that divorce, and it was really, really painful and really hard. And so I would tell my sponsor, like, I'm afraid God's going to punish me. And she would tell me, no, you have to. Everything's falling into place for you, you know. Everything was just God's will. God's will. You know when it's God's will, because everything falls into place. You know, you're not really fighting anything. And that's what was happening for me, you know, because we would do all this step work and things would be clear. You know, if you just put the food down, things become clear to you of why you're having certain feelings over certain things. And so, I couldn't pretend like the red flags weren't there anymore. You know what I mean? So she really helped me through that. And then after my divorce, I traveled around Europe abstinent. Like, I stayed abstinent through that. And even though I was really afraid, like, I took that action anyways. So, you know, Mickey talked about, I love Mickey. I love your enthusiasm. Love the enthusiasm, you know. And usually I'm pretty enthusiastic, but it'll pass. So, I would be so afraid to take certain actions, but then, like, I would take the action anyways. And then every time I would take that action, it would be like I gained more faith in God, you know. So even though I was scared, I would just take that action, like when I traveled Europe on my own, or when I went ahead and, you know, went through and got my divorce that I was terrified to do. Because then when I got divorced, I had to eventually get my own place, which I got my own place when I was, like, when I'm 45 now, when I was, like, 37 years old. First time ever in my life I lived by myself. And that's all programmed, because I was, when I showed up to sign the 1 year lease, you have to pay rent for 1 year, all right? For a whole year, you're signing this piece of paper saying you're going to pay rent for a whole year. And I'm 37 years old, and I had never, ever paid rent on my own. Like I said, I've always been taken care of. And I was like, I signed the lease, you know? And I was terrified. I don't think I slept that first month. Because I'm so used to, like, noise and, like, people but I did it. And that's all because of program. Program has taught me to, like, I just take the action anyways, you know. And Like, today I love living by myself. I can't believe I didn't do it sooner. You know, I envy people that say they leave home when they're like 18 or 19 and they just go out on their own. I envy them, you know. Because if her, you know, if it's up to my mom, I can live with her still today. My sister's 44 years old. She still lives with my mom today. I'm being serious. And so anyways, so that's some of the really hard things I've been through in abstinence. And more recently, I shared about me struggling is because, you know, I have a really good life. I still work for the airlines, although that could be really challenging with my work schedule because I travel, I do a lot of international flying. And if I'm not spiritually fit for that day, it shows up in my food. And being in OA, I've learned a couple of things along the way. Like, I have to prepare my food. I have to. So I have to take my food with me on my trip. Things that are that I can travel with, and because, you know, when I travel, if I don't have food with me, I feel panicked. I feel panicked, you know, and that's part of my disease. So I have to prepare my food. I do my readings in the morning. And so there's a lot of work that goes into being abstinent for me in OA and being comfortable. And that's the part of what Jonah was saying about it's a pain. Like, this program is a pain. I related to that because it is a pain. However, the results are so much more bigger if I just do the work, and I have to just do the work, you know? And so the reason I've been struggling is because my mom got a hip replacement in January, and she's 76 years old, and she lives in Torrance. I live in Santa Monica, so that's not far, and there's a lot of us, right? So I was really scared, and not all of our family members were on the same page about how to care for our mom. And so I'll never forget, like, day three in the hospital, like, they make you walk the same day you get hip replacement. And day three in the hospital, doctor's like, all right, your mom's going home now. She's good. And I was like, no, you can't. We got to keep her here. Like, who's going to care for her? And they said she can go to rehabilitation, right? Or she can go home. And so the doctor highly recommended for my mom to go home. Well, that would mean that we would have to take care of her 24 hours a day. So I called my sponsor, and I knew what the right thing to do in my heart, in my gut. You know, if you stay in program long enough, you know the right thing to do. You can't avoid it. You know, that's what they talk about, the intuition, you know. I knew in my heart, like, I had to bring my mom home and take care of her, especially because the doctor kept saying, like, people thrive better in their homes. And, but I just had to get the okay from my sponsor. So I called my sponsor that day, and I said, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. We got to decide. And only two of us, six siblings, wanted to bring her home. And so guess what? Us two are the ones that were in charge of taking care of our mom. But we brought her home. We brought my mom home. And she did really well. And she's doing really well. And I have to, that's all because I believe that we brought her home and we gave her, like, all the proper care that she needed. And she's still doing really well. And it's so hard, though. It was so hard to take care of our mom. One weekend, I thought I was going to lose my mind. And it was just hard for me to see my mom in pain and that she's getting older. And it's like a different type of sadness for me and abstinence that I've never experienced before. And also she has dementia. My mom has dementia. She forgets things. So now that she's healing from the hip replacement, which I was so worried about, and nothing happened. Like, I spent so much energy worrying, and nothing happened. She's doing really well. In fact, the therapists tell us she's advanced. She's ahead of the game, you know? And now she's having, like, these memory problems and these, you know, she lost her dentures last week. Like, they're $1,700. I took her to over like 10 dentist appointments just to get those dentures. And the first thing when she told me I lost my dentures, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be inconvenienced again. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, because I'm selfish, you know? But my response was, it's okay, Mom, it's not a big deal. We'll get it taken care of, you know? And then she lost her car keys a couple of days ago, and my mom's still driving. All right, I gotta trust in God about that.